on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we're back for hour three. What a joy tomorrow. We're going to be back tomorrow and then 2 days next week. What a blast.
It's
and
good.
NBA draft tonight.
We'll talk about that tomorrow and getting a lot of good emails and tweets from you guys.
Appreciate it. We'll read some of those in the next segment because our guest is already here. So excited to talk to this gentleman. He's got Olympic blood in the family. So I wonder if like this is the time of year that he gets very excited.
Juiced up.
Of course, we're on the precipice of the NFL season.
And the bombshell drop by Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot to talk about.
And his old team finally signed their franchise quarterback while we were doing the show. We're, of course, talking about Nick Mangold. Nick, buddy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Good. We're good. I want to just talk for 15 minutes straight about your barbecue sauce. Can we just do that? Can you go 15 minutes deep on the barbecue sauce?
I can go for an hour if you let me.
Of course.
I put it on everything, on eggs.
I'll put barbecue sauce on a salad. Nick Mangold. Let's quickly talk about the Jets. Were you surprised that it took a while to sign the one quarterback that they actually have in the stable?
Yeah, I was shocked that it was taking as long as it was. But, you know, now it's done, so it's in the past. And we're excited to see him get out there and what he can do.
What do you think he can do? Like, what is... You know, again, rookie quarterbacks, you understand this league. You understand how difficult it is to make an impact
immediately.
We were saying Joe Burrow last year, even though he got injured, even though Cincinnati did not win a lot of games, he made an impact and gave them hope moving forward. What do you expect for Zach Wilson?
You know, I expect kind of the same thing. I want to see that hope.
Yeah.
You know, it was really unfortunate last year with Joe getting hurt. You know, because I wanted to see what he could do. He came out on
right.
fire. I want to see that same thing. You know, I want to see this kid come out, have a great training camp, and really get the ball rolling, and hopefully stay healthy, and, you know, we can get somewhere in the next couple of years.
What's interesting is what I think has been a shift in the NFL, and you tell me if you've seen this too, as far as teams tailoring their offense and offensive schemes to certain quarterbacks. And,
to their skill sets.
Right. You look at a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray and you say to yourself, well, they are actually, instead of trying to force those guys to be the type of quarterbacks that are quote-unquote pro-style quarterbacks, they're really tailoring it to those guys. Have you seen that shift in the NFL in the last few years?
Oh, definitely. And it makes sense, too. You're paying these guys millions and millions of dollars.
That's right.
Why not put them in a position to succeed? So it'll be interesting to see what this offense looks like and where they're going to go. You know, from the first reports I saw from training camp, it seemed like a lot of run game.
Mm-hmm.
Might have just been because he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do this year.
So what are the Jets in their hearts? What do they say is a successful season? Obviously, you know, win total aside, but maybe you can put it in, quantify it in a win total. But where do they go and say, all right, we're heading in the right direction and this was our guy, we made the right choice?
You know, I think it's two different things. I think it's the players and coaches, they are, you know, Super Bowl or bust. That's their goal. You know, careers are too short to be like, oh, you know, we made improvements. I think as an organization, they just want to see marked improvement. You
right.
know, every week getting better. Every week, you know, there's something shiny going on that, you know, mm-hmm. you can get excited about. And I would definitely at least say 8-8. Positive wins are where we get improvement and, you know, we walk away with a feeling that this is our guy.
Or 8-9 or 9-8, because I think there's 17 games this year. But we made that.
Oh, they switched that, didn't they?
They did. Damn. What do you think about that? I mean, so here we kind of were talking about Mike Pereira before. Do you think if they do decide to eventually go to maybe even an 18-game season, pairing back the preseason? I know the preseason is valuable in terms of figuring out your roster, but are there other ways to figure that out without playing four games that people really don't care about?
I don't know. I think that's where they're struggling because the preseason, while it's long and you know, it's tough and you do deal with injuries for some of your starters.
Right.
That's where you make your middle class of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that are on the bubble that, you know, need to prove something. If you take that away, I think, you know, the back end of your rosters are really going to hurt.
Or you're not going to know what they can do, I guess. You won't know what they're...
Because you are putting them in these situations that maybe you wouldn't put them in the regular season giving him that full. There is always like a white possession receiver that makes every team that has like an insane like preseason that and winds up. You're like, oh, this guy's now on the Rams,
especially with special teams, too, because
yeah.
you know, you don't get those live shots in practice.
That's right.
So guys that are on the border trying to make a team. Show themselves on the special teams plays in preseason games.
Yeah, you break two like punts or a kickoff and a punt in the preseason, and you can make a roster.
Exactly.
So I've been hearing a lot of, you know, sort of positive buzz about a team like the Washington football team potentially making a jump and doing it with defense. And doing with defense. My question to you as we looked at this whole, and I want to get your thoughts on the whole Aaron Rodgers situation too, because it has to do with front offices versus players. But the idea that can you win in this league? Can there be another Trent Dilfer type run or Brad Johnson type run to the Super Bowl? Or do you need Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers to get it done?
That's a great question. You know, obviously in recent history, you've needed the quarterback. But I still think there's something to be said about playing defense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the teams that are building that way, you know, if you can just get a little bit of lightning out of your quarterback and you have a strong defense, you can at least make a run at it.
I mean, the Washington defense looks insane. Like it's going to be so
dominant,
so dominant and so tough. I find that NFC's, you know, the least division, I actually find it extraordinarily intriguing. How good is Dallas going to be? Can Daniel Jones make the next step? I mean, what are you seeing in that division?
I think it's going to be fun, you know, for as much, you know, stuff that they took last year being terrible.
Yeah.
I think this will be a fun year to watch them and see how it unfolds.
How about a guy like Trevor Lawrence down in, you know, you talk about Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence was the first guy taken.
He's used to being put in very early
into situations and delivering. When you see this guy with just all the measurables, what he can do, how he can run, what are you expecting? Are we looking at a generational quarterback for and a guy who can sort of rise the Jaguars to prominence again?
I mean, I hope so for this kid, you know, coming out being first overall and everything.
Yeah.
I just hope that they don't put too much pressure onto him to do it the first year. You know, it's really difficult to win as a rookie quarterback. And so it's going to take a couple years. But, you know, I think he definitely has the flair and definitely has the skill. And I think it would be nice to see Jacksonville, you know, come back around.
If we were to shave his hair and your beard, would it be the same amount of hair? That's my question.
No, I got the summer cut going.
Summer cut? Oh, shaved it down. I like it.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers, that is the big story that we've been talking about all day.
He doesn't miss a beat. He's there for the first practice.
But his candidness and his sort of breaking down of what clearly happened behind the scenes. As a player, do you look at someone like that and be like, all right, that guy has my back? Or are you like, what is he doing? Why is he going out there? Why is he talking like this?
The player, then that, you know, all thinking, none of us have wallets on Aaron Rodgers to be able to do it. So he was able to just lay things and think every player in Green Bay. Was probably cheering him on.
Players in Green Bay are probably cheering him on, and players probably everywhere were saying who feel like they have been wronged by their front office or disrespected or lowballed on the way out the door or whatever. It felt to me like one of those moments where he's like, I gotta say this. I'm saying this for everybody. And you say to yourself, well, who wouldn't want to suit up next to Aaron Rodgers? Because if he's got my back in a public way there, then he's going to have my back on the field.
Exactly. And I think that's probably, you know, partially what he was thinking, you know, to make sure that the players rally around him.
And I think the fans will, too. It's kind of like we were saying before about, you know, no one watched The Last Dance and said, man, I really side with Jerry Krause. You're not going to get fans.
No one has Jerry Krause in like a GM fantasy league.
Right. Like, you know,
right.
There's no such thing. I want to talk about the Olympics and your sort of connection to the Olympics through your sister. I mean, is this a special time from now and forever on, a special time for you and your family? Do you kind of watch it differently, having had someone so close to you go through the experience of prepping for an Olympics and getting injured yet participating?
Yeah, it's always been an exciting time for the Olympics, but now having that connection of going there, seeing a family member compete, it makes it a little bit more special. And and I wasn't even the one competing.
Right, you're rooting for someone else.
You're used to being on the field.
That's
to
right.
Be a fan now is probably a whole new experience.
Exactly, but it's neat seeing the athletes compete. I am amazed of a world competition where you're competing for your country.
Yeah,
it's so amazing. And we tune in, every night to see what's going on.
So here's my question, because you watched your sister kind of through that development through the Olympics, 4 years, like each year is specifically laid out. Again, as you prep for an NFL season, I'm sure it's very segmented in, there were the old days in the NFL where like Deacon Jones was selling medical equipment in the off season because they weren't paying enough money. Now there's, I'm sure you like, this is my plan. I'm going to lift this way.
This is my June. This is my July.
This is my, and then I'm into camp and this is August. It's very segmented. And I feel like it's that way for Olympic athletes too. You're on a 4-year plan. So for the fact that the Olympics get pushed an extra year, it kind of screws that up a little bit.
Oh, definitely, and especially having to do things kind of on your own, with it, people not being able to get together and gyms being closed and everything. So the fact that these athletes are competing and doing as well as they are is awesome.
Have you talked to your sister about have you talked about the Simone Biles of it all, the idea of, look, this is someone who was on the very, very top who kind of lost her edge. I don't know if regular people understand the edge that you have to have in order to go out and play the game. I mean, you're a guy who played in the trenches in the NFL. If you don't walk out ready to, on the very edge, play the game, you're toast.
Oh, definitely. You're going to you're going to be terrible. And then B, you're probably going to get hurt.
That's it.
I think your body is the biggest thing. And I think she made, the best decision for her.
Yeah, and I think one thing that doesn't get talked about, I mean, football is the ultimate team sport, especially if you're on the offensive line. Five guys as a unit, and the center is essentially the quarterback of the line, so to speak. You guys have to all be in concert. You got to know where this person's going. It's the ultimate team sport. She's part of a team, but gymnastics is the ultimate individual sport. It's not two people on a balance beam. It's, these are two separate things. So she, in my opinion, I feel like she had to think about herself in that case. And I'm glad you see it that way too. And I'm glad you're tuned into all of it as well. I think in some ways we have to watch it. Everything but the U.S. men's basketball team, which I think they should have picked a different roster. I think the idea that like we should be excited for whatever we get. Katie Ledecky gets a silver medal. We should all jump for joy. Because you've gone through it. You know how difficult it is.
Exactly. And, I think the nice part, too, is while we're all rooting, I think, for America, it is neat to see other countries and experience the joy that they're having. I mean, that Australian coach.
Oh, my God. Won, that guy.
He was unbelievable.
Is that guy the greatest?
Dude, the Alaskan gym. The gym with the girl who's in high school, the swimmer.
Yeah, Lindsay Jacoby, when her high school, like the seniors who like they went nuts in that gym. Is that the greatest moment? That's one of the greatest moments you've ever seen in terms of fandom cheering.
Exactly. It was awesome. Like having those people go crazy up in Alaska. It's just, I think it's what makes the games, so special.
If that Australian coach who looks like he could be a long lost, like brother of the Gibbs, like he
one
looks
of
like
the Bee Gees.
Like a BG that was misplaced and did like a jacked out Barry Gibb.
If Barry Gibb started doing CrossFit.
If Barry Gibb really got into CrossFit, that's who he is. Like, if he doesn't become like a strength and conditioning coach for an NFL team, then that's a missed opportunity, Nick Mangold.
He's got a lot of energy.
Let's talk about your barbecue sauce, because I really do. I'm such a barbecue sauce fan, and I want to hear about it, buddy.
Yeah, it was. We started it about 2 years ago. It was just something that came around. I've been making barbecue sauce for years.
Love it.
And it was like, how can I get this out to other people?
Yep.
And have a fun charitable aspect to it. So we're connected with Answer the Call, that does fantastic work for families of fallen first responders in New York City.
Love it. Thank you for doing that.
And we have two of them out right now, the OG and the Spicy. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to get two more out soon. So that way I have one sauce for each one of my kids.
There you
go.
That's
great.
And how can they get it?
How can people get it? Where can they find it?
You can find it at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, anywhere on the internet. And then, you know, we're in the tri-state area of New York City. Not in a ton of places, but we're trying to expand.
What's the name of it so people can search it up?
Yep, it's Mangold 74 BBQ.
I love it. You're a 7-time Pro Bowler, and you don't mind saucing it up from time to time. Nick Mangold, yeah. Thanks for joining us on the show, buddy. And see, this is just proof that Michigan guys and an Ohio State guy can get along, right? We just proved it.
Every once in a while.
Not in November, but we can do it in the middle of the summer.
We can do it now. Best of luck to you, and thanks for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Nick Mangold, everybody.
I'm going to try his barbecue sauce. I put it on everything.
I would put it on everything, too. I'm going to try it, too. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back. We are going to get to this steak.
Norwegian beach handball controversy. Dude, you knew it was going to come up, and it's time for us to deal with it head on. And then later on the show, Andy Staples, we're going to talk about
college football.
What in the world is happening?
The post-apocalyptic college football landscape.
Sports landscape. We'll talk about it. This is, of course, MGMT. And me and Michael, our friend Harmar Superstar's favorite song from these guys.
He sang it to us in a record store in Minneapolis.
Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us. Only two segments left. I'll take a little Ozo Motley.
Yes.
On a Thursday. So good. Charlie Tuna. Met him. What a great guy.
Great MC.
Saw these guys at, what was it, Summerfest?
Man, we saw them.
Summer Stage
in New York.
New York City, back in the 90s. So much fun.
Central Park.
We're hurtling to the end of this show.
You got Andy Staples at the end of the hour.
Andy Staples at the end of the hour, and we're going to talk. And tomorrow I'll just set up a little bit. We'll obviously talk about the NBA draft and the pieces that fell after that. If there are any trades, we'll get into that tomorrow. Gar Reines, the batting stance guy, will be in studio. We can talk about Shohei Ohtani. I'm sure he's got a great Shohei Ohtani.
Uh-huh.
Who hit his 37th home run last night. He got three RBIs. RBI.
Which we want to make the change to. Jeff and Lincoln at Sklar Brothers. Number two is not an option. Regards, Najee's hamper.
Come on!
Mike in Buffalo at Sklar Brothers. I made an ear absinthe. Regards, Mike Tyson.
There you go.
Steven Schumacher at Sklar Brothers. They need to give that high school orchestra a chance to play at Mark Davis's next haircut. That might be my favorite. There it is.
Put the bowl on top of Mark Davis's head. Start chopping around the bowl, and we just did his bangs. We just did his bangs. I'm so happy. Mark Davis.
Kevin, I don't even know what his thing is. You guys should try saying literally a few more times. Seriously, at this pace, you might be able to get 20 in today. That's literally the worst tweet I've ever read.
Literally the dumbest thing I've ever
literally
seen.
Literally, you suck, dude.
Yeah. You're the worst. You are literally the worst. And that is not figuratively and figuratively the worst. Don't step to us with that sort of literal ridiculousness. Shall we get into this take, Jeff?
Step your game up.
Step all of it up. You're worse than that high school orchestra. Literally.
You are literally worse than high school. Thank you.
This is what I hear when I read your tweets. When people see you walking down the hall towards them at work, this is what they hear in their brain. They're like, oh, God, this guy's walking towards me. This is what every woman.
This is the effect you have on other people.
Yeah. When you're at a bar and you're talking to a woman, that's what she hears. She doesn't hear words coming out of your mouth. She hears that sound.
All right, let's get this take. I feel like after COVID, we can't tell people what clothes they need to wear to work anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten way too comfortable in my sweats.
Sweat shorts.
I've worn sweats to a restaurant for dinner.
Not lunch. Not lunch, about lunch.
We talk about dinner.
We not talk about lunch. We talk about dinner.
I feel like in about, I don't know, maybe 4 years, if we're at this trend, we're going to look at jeans the way we looked at khakis and like dress pants and suits.
You saying Steve Kornacki is going to be at the big board in jeans instead of khakis?
I'm saying in sweats. I'm saying there will be a moment.
Shorts?
Jeans are getting stretchier and they're heading towards sweats. I'm just saying there are people who walk around, we used to wear suits to the movies. We're going to be saying to people, we used to wear jeans
to the
jeans in a movie theater. Can you imagine that?
We used to wear jeans on planes, and people didn't, there didn't used to be a fight every time you flew Delta.
And same goes for sports uniforms. I think about golf pants and how they've evolved.
Yeah.
A whole group of people are against, if a whole group of people of players, they're against a certain type of uniform and it's not a piece of safety equipment,
they should be able to
wear an alternative.
I agree.
Pick an alternative.
I agree.
Like if my son doesn't want to wear a skateboarding helmet, that's a non-starter. He doesn't get to skate.
That's right.
But if I told him he had to wear skinny jeans or else he's not going to skate, then what am I doing?
You can't make that call on him. He's got to wear his Dickies and that's it.
He doesn't even wear there. So here's Polar Tex.
Thanks.
And that's what's happening in the rough and tumble world of European women's beach handball.
Let's get into the Norwegian women's beach handball team.
They refuse to wear bikini bottoms that I guess have been standard in their sport.
Standard, not required, but standard.
They've opted instead for biker shorts, biker style athletic shorts, tight.
Which, by the way, doesn't change your performance in any way. Doesn't make you slower to the beach handball.
Creepy old dudes can still lurk.
That's right.
And look at you and oogle you.
And guess what? They're gonna.
And this apparently has shook their entire industry to the core.
Yeah.
So they wore these elastic shorts during their bronze medal match against Spain in the 2021 European Beach Handball Championships on July 18th.
Oh, you don't have to tell me about the 2021 European Beach Handball Championships.
That's saved on my TiVo.
I got it. I rewatch the highlights of that every night.
So they did that in protest. They wore these in opposition to the bikini bottoms.
Right. They shouldn't have to wear them if they don't want to.
The Norwegian Federation president called the move, quote, embarrassing.
No, you know what's embarrassing? Your calling it embarrassing is embarrassing.
They don't feel comfortable in the bikini bottoms. They feel like it's sexist. That's what they're saying. They want to make a change.
Let me guess. There are no women on the Norwegian Federation board.
They got fined 1,500 euros. I'm not sure if that was for every player who did it. But
that's $1,768 if anybody's checking.
For improper clothing, according to the statement made by the European Who is running this league? Bernie Ecclestone?
Come on.
That's what I want to know. More importantly, there's a European Handball Disciplinary Commission. That's what I want to know. Why?
To me, that sounds worse than like an HOA telling you how high your mailbox should be.
Right. They sound like a nightmare. Or they're like fetish freaks and they're into this thing.
Maybe.
They love giving women's beach handball teams harsh discipline. That's part of what gets them going.
And to fine them nearly $2,000, that gets them riled up.
That feels harsh. That's not harsh.
It does.
Why?
Why?
Not in a good way.
Nope, not in a good way.
While male handball players are allowed to play in shorts no longer than 4 inches above the knee.
Short shorts.
Women are required to wear bikini bottoms according to the International Handball Federation regulations.
You know who loves the shorts that the men, the beach, Norwegian.
Steve Garvey.
Not Steve Garvey does, and so does John Stockton if you can pull him away from an anti-vax rally.
John Stockton's shorts are so short. If they were any shorter, they'd be a belt.
If they were any higher, they'd be a necklace.
So they're not requiring the dudes to wear Speedos.
Mm-mm.
So unreal.
You can't really point to that.
Yeah. If you're going to make these women wear Speedos, then make the dudes wear thongs.
The Borat thong.
The Borat thong is what you have to wear or else you're going to get fined.
I think they would protest if that was the case.
Yeah.
I think dudes would protest that.
Dudes would not accept the fact that they'd have to wear one of those.
The Norwegian team had petitioned from the start of the tournament to wear shorts. Mm-hmm. So they didn't just put the shorts on.
Yeah.
They petitioned them.
They made their intentions known. And of course,
they brought it up. which feels like a lot of work. Petitioning feels like a lot of work, doesn't it?
Hey, they should have been training, playing handball on the beach, getting ready. Instead, they're putting a petition together.
For Care Gear Leo.
Mm-hmm.
It's quote, it's not appropriate clothing for the activity when they're playing on the sand. Wait, what? So because there's sand, they're not allowed to wear biker shorts?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, you can't mix. Have you ever heard of a triathlon? People go from the bike to the water, dummy. That's what happens.
You're revealing yourself and your own intentions.
I call that fuzzy math.
I call it fuzzy Zeller.
Fuzzy Zeller math is math that in some way is inappropriate.
I don't know. Why is he? Is he also the official photographer for the league? Why does he care?
Yeah.
Why is he taking photos of these women from bushes nearby with a telephoto lens?
Yeah. I want to see. If you're photographing the team, you better be out there in the wide open.
The women's team trains and competes in, quote, what they want, like the boys.
Oh, good.
At home in Norway, but is subject to International Handball Federation's clothing rules when they play abroad, he said.
Way to pass the buck.
So now he's pushing it and putting it on the International Handball Federation. So they can do it at home in Norway. They can wear the shorts. But when they're out in the
when you're out in the real world.
Guys, our hands are tied on this one. Really, how can we change a rule like this?
Our handballs are tied. I mean, there's no way to then just say to them, hey, let's let them wear whatever they want.
Which, by the way, if any of the women on the Norwegian beach handball team wants to tie my hands up, please contact me.
That's what he's got.
That's essentially what he's saying.
That's essentially what he's saying.
There's nothing you can do. These rules are written in stone.
They're not written in stone. These aren't the Ten Commandments.
Look, guys, I'd love to get you out of those bikini bottoms. Did I say that out loud?
Whoops. It's the Norwegian women's beach handball team, not the Swedish bikini team. Let them wear whatever they want. Who cares?
Well, now you did it. You woke up pop star Pink. She's now involved.
That's it. Pink is involved.
Are you happy, Leo?
She's no longer hanging from the ceiling having milk dropped on her.
You've released the Kraken.
That's right.
And she's going to slide down a long piece of fabric, like Randy said, and get in your face, bro.
And she's been working out, so watch out.
The singer posted on social media over the weekend about how proud she was of the handball team protesting these sexist uniforms.
Yeah,
and extended an offer to cover the cost. That's right.
She's going to pay your fines for you.
She's coming up and she's ready. She's about to get this party started.
That's right.
Release the Kraken.
I'm very proud. This is what she said of the Norwegian female beach handball team for protesting this very sexist rules about their uniforms.
All caps. By the way, that's an all caps tweet right there.
She's like, keep finding them. I got your back. $1,800. You think that's money to Pink?
Pink's got that money just lying around.
She spends that more money on that on mesh shirts in a morning Amazon.
That's right. She'll sell three of her Pelotons to pay all your fines.
Just be happy it's Pink and not Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj would show up to your house, slap you in front of your kids.
In the face. And by the way, the more you protest, the more it reveals about you as a person.
And your true pervy tendencies.
That's it.
That's what it is.
To dig your heels in and decide to take a stand against this, a more revealing, you know.
But by the way, they're wearing tight, like, biker shorts. It's not like they all put on cargo shorts, like from the Horde tour in 1998.
No, they're not wearing the giant things that you're like, are these pants or shorts? I can't tell.
They want to be comfortable. They want it. The athletes in the sport, that's the most important part of the game.
They want to crack the top three teams in Europe, Jay.
They don't want sand in their cracks.
That's it.
That's the whole point. You got to let them do it.
What are we doing here?
What are we even doing here?
I'll tell you what we're doing here.
We're going to take a break right now. We're going to get you to a sports update with our buddy Rich Ackerman.
And then on the other side of that break, we're going to talk to our buddy Andy Staples.
So excited to talk college sports with him.
I got upset. I got heated on that one, Rand.
You had every right to be.
Thank you. Me and Pink.
It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Take it away, Rich.
Sports Flash.
Well, guys, tonight is the night teenagers and young men become millionaires and championships are ultimately formed as the NBA draft takes place in Brooklyn with the Pistons owning the number one pick. Among the top prospects is Jalen Green, who has skewed college for the G League and said the last year has been beneficial for getting ready for this moment.
The G League tonight is like playing in the States, so overseas is a whole different game. And college, I just feel like the G League is one step ahead of college, so I mean, you learn how to become a pro on and off the court early.
All right, guys. Final segment. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Needed to say this. If you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family, guess what? Rocket can. Been a hell of a day. So much fun. So much to talk about. Aaron Rodgers.
Scorched earth from Aaron Rodgers.
Scorched earth. I loved every minute. And I was there for all of it. We're here again tomorrow. Thank you, Jim Rome, Garrett, James, everybody. I want to talk to, we've got him on the line right now. We've sort of been holding this because it is a developing story, and we don't know it yet what's actually going to happen, but I'm very curious to hear what this gentleman, college football writer at The Athletic, Mr. Andy Staples.
Also a great radio host.
Great radio host. Andy, we listen to you. How are you, buddy? You're joined with the Sklar Brothers on Jim Rome's radio show.
It is an honor to be with you guys. And I'm just very developing story, trying to figure out when to record the podcast tomorrow. We've pretty much settled on 2:45 a.m.
Yeah.
When maybe things will stop for 2 seconds and we can record something.
Dude, I mean, it's insane. And what's happening now will affect college football for years and college sports for years to come. Like the crazy land grab that's going on, the dissection and the
obliteration of what we
it's like a
knew.
Garage sale for the Big 12. Like what is going to happen? What do you see is going, I don't want to give away the story, but what do you see is going to happen here after Texas and Oklahoma
join the SEC?
What's the Big 10 going to do?
It's tough to figure out because at this point you don't add somebody unless they make everybody in your league more money. So that's
right.
Why Texas and Oklahoma are a great fit for the SEC.
Sure.
Because all the other SEC schools are going to make more money out of that. And they're thrilled with that. But for the eight programs left over in the Big 12, they're not in a position where, mm-mm, you know, someone in the Big 10 could say, hey, let's add Kansas and Iowa State.
Right.
And you know, Indiana or Northwestern would be like, wait, I got to take a pay cut if we do that. I don't want to do that. And then Pac-12, same thing. They said, well, let's plant a flag in Texas, and we'll take Texas Tech and TCU. And they'll say, well, but wait, we just ran off our commissioner because we didn't think he was making us enough money.
Right.
And now you want us to take a pay cut for them? So that's the tricky part. There are only a few schools left that are available, quote unquote, that would do that. So, like, the Big Ten could take USC and Oregon and Washington and, mm-hmm, like, those schools from the Pac-12, mm-hmm, and that would make the Big Ten more money. But the Big Ten presidents would have to have a stomach for that. Mm-hmm. And then those teams I just mentioned would have to want to leave behind people in the Pac-12. And I don't know if they're going to want to do that.
They may or may not. It just depends what the package is. And to me, by the way, all of this is to make the schools more money and the SEC and conferences more money. If you're an Oklahoma football fan.
Or a Texas football
really fan. Really a Texas football fan. But I'm saying Oklahoma. You are winning the Big 12 every year. Great. Your fans are like, great.
We're going to the playoffs.
We're in the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years. We have a shot. And if you're Texas, you're like, all we have to do is beat Oklahoma. And we've got a shot. Now, if you're Texas, you have to play Auburn. You have to play Georgia. The gauntlet you have to run through, a potentially revitalized LSU team with Ed Orgeron, who there's no way you can explain or you
understand
can decipher
what he's
any
saying.
Word that he says because he basically speaks out of his throat. You have to defeat you are now running a gauntlet that you didn't have to in the Big 12. It's stupid for the fans.
But here's the thing. The way the playoff is potentially going to change now. That may change again now that things are moving around.
Right.
But they were going to move to a 12-team playoff, mm-hmm, that had six conference champions and then six at-large spots. If you're Oklahoma and the SEC, in that scenario, you don't have to win the SEC to make the playoff.
You can come in
But
fourth.
Can you make the playoff with three losses?
Four losses? Maybe.
Two or three, yeah, I think. And here's the thing. They've had years where they've won the Big 12 and not made it. You'll always make it if you win the SEC in a 4-team playoff.
Well, they're not going to win. Nobody's going to beat Alabama. Nobody.
Fifth place gets you in.
I think you're right. But so then if that happens, it's a joke. The playoff then becomes a joke. Because then what I would just say is, look at all the lineups and look at all the teams and look at all their recruits and who mm-hmm passes the eye test. Like, that's what we're going to be saying. They pass the eye test.
You're looking at it as worthy of winning the championship.
Right.
The Washington football team didn't deserve to be in the playoff last year if we're talking about teams that were worthy of winning the championship.
That's true. They played in a down division.
Exactly. Were we not entertained by the NFL playoffs? The idea of the playoff is to provide entertaining television content.
So why play the games?
Great.
Why play the games? And I'm hearing you, and I'm not against you. I'm just saying, Andy, why play the games at all if you're looking at the roster and being like, yeah, but Alabama passed the eye test. So what if they lost to Auburn and it was a rival game and who cares? They had a down week and a couple of weird things happened and who cares? It's like, well, Auburn's like, well, wait a minute. We just want, well, it doesn't matter. You don't pass the eye test like Alabama does. And so there will be like one SEC school that gets like left out. They're going to be really upset. So it's literally going to be
the
six SEC schools and then
six others.
And then I guess six
Big
others.
Ten. Maybe. And Clemson.
Right. Clemson. So does the Big Ten try and make a play for the ACC and Notre Dame and try and group all of them into and make like some other weird other conference? Or, like you said, make a Northern.
It's going to be like the NFC and the AFC, but with like 30 teams.
Right. 20 teams on
yeah,
each.
Yeah, I would, if I'm the Big Ten, I would go West because
right.
I think those teams need it more. And also, not to get too far into the weeds, but the ACC contract with ESPN runs through 2036. So
yeah,
those teams are tied together till then. If they were to leave, they wouldn't be able to sell their media rights until 2036. So that's
it's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
You might want North Carolina or Clemson, but they're probably off limits right now. So that's why I suggested going west. Plus, the Big Ten and Pac-12 have been partners in the Rose Bowl for decades. So
well, that's right. Your championship game could be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I worry about teams on the West Coast being isolated right now because I feel like if the Pac-12 sort of stays the way it is, the conversation's all going to be in the Midwest and the South. And
right.
Look, college football got huge because it went from being a regional sport to a national sport.
That's right.
They don't need to let it get back to being a regional sport. They need to make sure all of the country has some representation here.
You could have a Western division and you start to look
well,
at the Big Ten.
And you'd have people in the Midwest now staying up to 10 o'clock at night saying, I'm going to watch this game. People in Ann Arbor, Michigan saying, I'm going to watch the game between Oregon and Wisconsin because it might affect who goes yep. where in my division.
The other day I wrote that column that's what the Big Ten needs to do if it wants to make a big, bold move like the SEC did. And when I got done, I was like, oh, and they create an extra TV window. And I'm like, man, how did they turn into such a suit?
Yeah,
but you think like that when you're trying to get into their heads. That's what you're doing.
But it would bring a lot of teams that, to me, would be interesting. USC, because USC often, like, fields a weirdly good basketball team. UCLA's got a great basketball team. You look at UCLA football. And
Oregon
like,
can have a good basketball.
Oregon basketball is great. It's on the rise. Washington is a good football program. Oregon is a great football program. That might be the play, and you have a Western division which includes Nebraska and includes Colorado.
Michigan's playing Washington this year yeah. under the lights, September 11th.
The other two I suggested with I said USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, and then I said these Big Ten schools, which they pride themselves on academics. They feel mm-hmm. like they are one step short of the Ivy League.
That's right.
You know they're taking Stanford and Cal.
Yes. That's right. Yes, I mean, of course they are.
That's the greatest nerd move of all time.
Well, there have been some recruiting battles that Stanford has won recently in the world of football. Miles, what's the guy's name?
Miles
Hinton is a five-star that they've gotten. And again, Stanford basketball Stanford women's basketball program is fantastic. Not that that's...
They just won the national title.
That's right.
And then Stanford, you notice who they get. When they get the five, sometimes they get a five-star quarterback.
That's right.
But when they get a five-star, it's almost always an offensive lineman.
Right.
Who are the smartest, best-looking players on the field? That's the offensive lineman.
The
course.
Offensive lineman.
When Stanford comes to you and says, you can have a free education at Stanford, that offensive line is like, oh, yeah.
I'll take it.
Give me that.
I'll take it.
Because if I want to avoid type 2 diabetes in 11 years, I'm going to get out of this sport or 8 years,
right.
and I'm going to be
a doctor.
I'm going
to figure it out and work in the medical field that can help me out. I mean, that is, to me, what you're taught, that alignment, I think, would be interesting, and you wind up having a 20-team you could have a 20-team Northern Conference and a 20-team Southern Conference is what you're going to do. Then what happens to all the Midwest teams? Like, what happens in that Midwest sort of malaise in there?
That's the issue, and, you know, it's really kind of the upper Midwest because, you know, the Big Ten has the more populous part of the Midwest covered.
Right.
And then they've got Nebraska in the upper Midwest, but, yeah, that would be nobody in Kansas, nobody... you know, you've got Iowa in the Big Ten, but you lose Iowa State.
Right.
What happens with Utah, Colorado, Those are the ones that you don't really want to have those geographic gaps. You can avoid them.
I mean, could the Big 12, you know, could there be like a middle, there's a northern thing that kind of goes out west that includes those Big 10 teams and all those West teams you're talking about. But then the Midwest, there's like a Midwest conference or a middle of the country conference that includes.
Maybe they grab Nebraska back.
They grab Nebraska back, or they grab Utah.
I don't think Nebraska's leaving those Big 10 paychecks behind. That's the problem. And people look at it like, oh, you're not winning championships in football. You must want to leave. And they're like, no, no, no. Every other Friday, we are the happiest people in the world.
Right. So, right. That's absolutely right. And so that's
when you go, oh, it's about money.
Right. So that's
I
what
care about
annoying.
The scores. It's about money.
I think Texas fans are going to. So again,
we got 2 minutes left.
We got 2 minutes left. But going back to our original point that Oklahoma is used to winning 10, 11 games a year. What happens when they start losing 4 games a year? Their fan base is going to have to stomach losing a handful of games every year.
Well, there's a show that comes on shortly after this one ends on a different network. Mm-hmm. And those Oklahoma fans will be calling in and saying, Paul, I don't think this Lincoln Riley guy's going to get this done.
Yeah.
Because they say it every time Nick Saban loses, too.
Sure. He's not going to get it done. And that's exactly right. I don't know who you're talking about. Paul Greenbaum? Is that who it is? I'm not sure.
Never heard of him.
So people can read your stuff on The Athletic and listen to you as we do.
Tell them when on the radio. Tell them when your show is on.
So the Andy Staples Show podcast is wherever you get podcasts.
Great.
And I'm also on SiriusXM College Sports Radio, so Channel 84, or sometimes various conference channels. So you kind of have to hop around. But Andy_Staples on Twitter, I'll usually tell you when I'm coming on.
Dude, I love it, Andy.
We're fans of yours.
We'll have you on our podcast. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Andy Staples. There you go.
Love it. There's
the
day.
The ever-changing landscape.
All right. Day in the books. We've got a lot to talk about tomorrow. We'll be back.
NBA draft, Olympics. We've got more takes. We'll talk about a LeBron James Space Jam mural that got defamed. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
We got a lot. We'll ride you into the weekend.
This is it. Guys, Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. Thank you, Jim Rome. Thank you, Cindy, who does a great job styling us. Garrett, James, everybody in New York. We appreciate you guys. We're out. We'll see you tomorrow.